Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, text number 51. Esha Bhagavan Rajan, Vyatanod Vihatam Yashaha, Pararudrasya Devasya, Mayena Ananta Mayina. Saesha Bhagavan, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is Para Brahman, Rajan, my dear King, Vyatano, expanded, Vihatam, best. Yasha, reputation. Pura, formerly in history. Rudrasya, of Lord Shiva, the most powerful among the demigods. Devasya, the demigod. Mayena, by a demon named Maya. Ananta, unlimited. Mayina, possessing technical knowledge. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King Yudhisthira, long, long ago in history, a demon known as Maya Danava, who was very expert in technical knowledge, reduced the reputation of Lord Shiva. In that situation, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saved Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is known as Mahadev, the most exalted demigod. Thus, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura says that although Brahma did not know the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva could have known them. This historical incident proves that Lord Shiva derives power from Lord Krishna, the Param Brahman. So, this is storybook time. The rest of the chapter is a story. So we might even finish it today. And then we get into the four social classes. So we should remember that the whole Bhagavad, the seventh canto, is answering the question whether Krishna is equal to everyone. And there... the answer is that as someone surrenders to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. If you're a demon and you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate as if you were a devotee. And if you're a devotee and you act like a demon, then Krishna will reciprocate as if you're a demon. Not exactly. I mean, Indra tried to destroy Vrindavan and Krishna. He first thought, let me destroy Indra's kingdom, the heavenly planets. But then he thought, it's so insignificant, his heavenly planets, why should I even bother? So instead he decided to protect the residents of Vrindavan by lifting Govardhan Hill. And that way he brought Indra back to his proper consciousness that he's the servant of Krishna, he's not the master of Krishna. Similarly, Brahma was also bewildered, and Krishna arranged it so that Brahma came back to his natural consciousness of being subordinate to Krishna. So generally, devotees don't become, real devotees, those who are actually advanced devotees, they don't become demons, but sometimes demons become devotees, and Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So this shows how Prahlad, although he was born in a demon family, he got the full mercy of Krishna because he fully took shelter of Krishna. While Hiranyakashipu, he took shelter of Lord Brahma, but since Lord Brahma is a demigod, he couldn't really give him the benediction that Hiranyakashipu was looking for, namely immortality. So for the rest of the chapter, we deal with Lord Shiva, how Krishna reciprocates with Lord Shiva and gives him different benedictions, and how he also reciprocates with the demons and frustrates their plans because they're demons. And then for the rest of the canto, we'll deal with, if someone is not directly a devotee of Krishna, still one can work gradually become a human being by following the Varnashram system. So I'm just going to keep on reading because there's no purpose to the rest of this, for most of it. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, for what reason did the demon Maya Danava vanquish Lord Shiva's reputation? How did Lord Krishna save Lord Shiva and expand his reputation again? Kindly describe these incidents. So even amongst the demigods, reputation is important. As it says in English, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names get to me after a while. So reputation is important. Even Krishna, when Prasena took the Shamantaka jewel on his neck and rode in the forest, displaying the opulence of his family, one lion came and killed both the horse that Prasena was riding on, as well as Prasena, and took the Shamantaka jewel. Later, Jambavan came and killed the lion, also took the Shamantaka jewel. But Satrajit was going all around Dwarka saying that actually he thinks that Krishna killed Prasena and stole the jewel. So Krishna didn't like his reputation being spoiled like that, and so he went into the forest and found the dead lion and the dead Prasena, the dead horse, and he followed the footprints of Jambavan to the cave, fought with Jambavan for 28 days and nights, and eventually got the Shamantaka jewel back along with his reputation. I mean, I don't think Krishna is personally attached. He doesn't. But if people speak ill of Krishna, it's not good for them. Krishna is very kind. He wants the benefit of all living entities. So Narada Muni said, when the demigods were always powerful by the mercy of Lord Krishna, fought with the Asuras were defeated. And therefore they took shelter of Maya Danava, the greatest of the demons. So there's great demons also. Shukracharya, Maya Danava. And so we find if you surrender to someone, you get their power. You get their mercy. If you choose the right person to surrender to, then you get the proper mercy. But if one is looking for material resources, material power and influence, one can also surrender to the great demons, and you'll get the powers that the demons have. Generally, people in the material world surrender to anyone who's greater than they are in order to acquire the power, not out of any particular love or devotion, but out of desire. So they worship the demigods, Krishna says, kamaistaistaridigana, out of lust, people approach the demigods to fulfill their desires. And through yo-yo, yam-yam, tum, bhakta, and through the demigods, according to the one's worship and surrender to Krishna, Krishna rewards them accordingly. Maya Danava, the great leader of the demons, prepared three invisible residences and gave them to the demons. It would be nice to have an invisible resident, wouldn't it? Probably get a lot of quiet time. Going to a resident, everyone's looking, you know, where is Gadadhar Pandit? Where is Gadadhar? And you're right there. But you're invisible. These dwellings resembled airplanes made of gold, silver, and iron, and they contained uncommon paraphernalia. My dear King Yudhisthira, because of these three dwellings, the commanders of the demons remained invisible to the demigods. Taking advantage of this opportunity, the demons, remembering their former enmity, began to vanquish the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. So, there's bad times all the time. Not only now, but there's times when the demons come and vanquish this middle planetary system, the lower and even the upper planetary system. So we can't lament that. So why is this happening to us? Therefore, when the demons began to destroy the higher planetary system, the rulers of the planets went to Lord Shiva, fully surrendered unto him, and said, "My dear Lord, we demigods living in the three worlds are about to be vanquished. We are your followers. Kindly save us." So they didn't seem to be bothered when the demons were destroying the lower planetary system and the middle one. They only seemed to become a little concerned when their planetary system was being destroyed. Such is the material existence. The most powerful and able Lord Shiva reassured them and said, "Do not be afraid." He then fixed his arrows to his bow and released them towards the three residents occupied by the demons. The arrows released by Lord Shiva appeared like fiery beams emanating from the sun globe and covered the three residential airplanes, which could no longer be seen. Of course, they weren't seen before either. I don't know why it said no longer be seen. Attacked by Lord Shiva's golden arrows, all the demoniac inhabitants of the three dwellings lost their lives and fell down. Then the great mystic Maya Vadanava dropped the demons into a nectarian well that he had created. Nice to have friends, like. The Asuras are generally extremely powerful because of their mystic yoga power. However, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, "Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana sharavan bhajate yomam sameyuktatamo mataha." Of all yogis, one he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendent loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The actual purpose of mystic yoga is to concentrate one's attention fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and always think of him. Madgaten antaratmana. To attain such perfection, one must undergo a certain process, hatha yoga, and through this yoga system, the practitioner achieves some uncommon mystic power. The asuras, however, instead of becoming devotees of Krishna, utilize this mystic power for their personal sense gratification. Maya Dhanava, for example, as mentioned here, is as Mahayogi, a great mystic. But his business was to help the asuras. Nowadays, we're actually seeing that there are some yogis who cater to the senses of materialists, and there are imposters who advertise themselves as God. Maya Dhanava was such a person, a god among the demons, and he could perform some wonderful feats, one of which is described here. He made a well filled with nectar and dipped the asuras into that nectarian well. This nectar was known as Mrityu Sanjivayitari, for it could bring a dead body to life. Mrita Sanjivayitari is also an Ayurvedic preparation. It's a kind of liquor that invigorates even a person on the verge of death. Everyone seemed to wake up when we talked about the liquor. When the dead bodies of the demons came in touch with the nectar, their bodies became invincible to thunderbolts. Endowed with great strength, they got up like lightning penetrating clouds. Nice to get a bottle or two of those. Can add it to our nectar, make it even more nectarian. Seeing Lord Shiva very much aggrieved and disappointed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, considered how to stop this nuisance created by Maya Dhanava. Then Lord Brahma became a calf and Lord Vishnu a cow, and at noon they entered the residences and drank all the nectar in the well. How? Didn't leave anything for us. The demons could see the calf and cow. Because of the illusion created by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons could not forbid them. The great mystic Maya Dhanava became aware that the calf and cow were drinking the nectar, and he could understand this to be in the unseen power of providence. Thus he spoke to the demons who were grievously lamenting. I don't see why they didn't dip a couple of bottles in there before it was all gone. demons aren't too smart. Get a big, 10-gallon container, put the nectar in there. Maya Dhanava said, what has been destined by the Supreme Lord for oneself, for others, or for both oneself and others cannot be undone anywhere or by anyone, whether one be a demigod, a demon, a human being, or anyone else. Purport, the Supreme Lord is one, Krishna, the Vishnu Tattva. Krishna expands himself into Vishnu Tattva, personal expansions, swangsa, who control everything. Maya Dhanava said, however I plan, you plan, or both of us plan, the Lord has planned what is to happen. No one's plan can be successful without his sanction. We may make our own various plans, but unless they are sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, they will never be successful. Hundreds and millions of plans are made by all kinds of living entities. Without the sanction of the Supreme Lord, they are futile. Narada Muni continued, however, Lord Krishna, by his own personal potency, consisting of religion, knowledge, renunciation, opulence, austerity, education, activities, equipped Lord Shiva with all necessary paraphernalia, such as a chariot, a charioteer, a flag, horses, elephants, a bow, a shield, and arrows. So if you're going to go and fight, these are the things you need. When Lord Shiva was fully equipped in this way, he sat down in the chariot with his arrows and bow to fight with the demons. I thought they were all, I guess the ones that came back alive. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, Lord Shiva is the best of the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Lord Krishna. Indeed, he is one of the Mahajans, the 12 Mahajans on Vaishnava philosophy. Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu. Lord Krishna is always prepared to help all the Mahajans and devotees in every respect. Kontiya Pratijani Hi Namai Bhakta Pranashati. Although Lord Shiva is very powerful, he lost the battle to the Asuras, and therefore he was morose and disappointed. However, because he is one of the chief devotees of the Lord personally equipped him with all paraphernalia for war. The devotee therefore must serve the Lord sincerely, and Krishna is always in the background to protect him, and if need be, to equip him fully to fight with his enemy. For demons, devotees, there is no scarcity of knowledge or material requisites for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. My dear Yudhisthira, the most powerful Lord Shiva, joined the arrows to his bow, and at noon he set fire to all the three residences of the demons, and thus destroyed them. Not good to be a demon, ultimately. I was getting destroyed. Seated in their airplanes in the sky, the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems beat many kettle drums. The demigods, saints, pittas, siddhas, and various personalities showered flowers on the head of Lord Shiva, wishing him all victory. And the apsaras began to chant and dance with great pleasure. O King Yudhisthira, thus Lord Shiva is known as Tripurari, the annihilator of the three dwellings of the demons, because he burnt these dwellings to ashes. Being worshipped by the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva returned to his own abode. Lord Krishna appeared as a human being, yet he performed many uncommon and wonderful pastimes. By his own potency, how can I say more about his activities than what has already been said by great saintly persons? Everyone can be purified by his activities simply by hearing about them from the right source. Purport, Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic literatures fully explain that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in human society as an ordinary human being, but acts very uncommonly for the well-being of the entire world. One should not be influenced by the illusory energy and think Krishna, Lord Krishna, to be an ordinary human being. Those who really seek the absolute truth come to the understanding that Krishna is everything. Vasudev Savamiti. Such great souls are very rare. Nonetheless, if one studies the entire Bhagavad Gita as it is, Krishna is very easy to understand. The Krishna consciousness movement is just trying to make Krishna known all over the world, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. If people take this movement seriously, their lives as human beings will be successful. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. Any questions?
So why he didn't just make another well?
I guess he, I don't know, you gotta ask him. It doesn't say. Why do you think he didn't make another well? Doesn't really matter.
Probably it was too many resources or something, or too much energy to put in. Or something. I don't know.
Who knows? Whether he thought Krishna would just take care of his next well or not, whatever. But.
What about if there is prescribed amount of time that one resides in a body, how could they sort of reset it or transgress?
You gotta ask Maya Dhanava. I don't know the technology. I don't know if anyone around here knows this technology. It's not used very often nowadays. Just have to accept it. Obviously, the idea of Bhagavatam is not to teach us this technology. Give us the details so we can build our own little well. Dip ourselves into it. You're about to die and you fall into the well. It's just to indicate that everyone has their desires, but ultimately Krishna's desires reign supreme. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.